mix.
Hey, hi, hey.
How's it going?
It's going, hi.
Is it? Is it going? Is it going good?
It's totally going.
It's going good because you have a happy app. It's some sort of happy app. I don't know what that means, but you have a happy app.
You guys, I don't really plug apps that often, but for someone like me that sometimes has issues with a bad day, depression, just shit sucks sometimes. I got this app on my phone called Happier. And it lets you post things like this. See,
if you're on live stream, you can see she's putting her phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a white screen.
No, but you share a moment that made you happy, or you could post a picture or not or whatever, and then you just share it with people.
Yay, so. Happiness!
Yay!
It's like Prozac in an app.
It is Prozac in an app.
But I'm bummed. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Hi.
Hey. Hi.
So how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of, regular life stuff, work,
life
family
stuff.
And stuff.
I feel you.
Yeah, but it's just the stuff that makes me, I suppose.
Is that it?
I assume so.
I'll go with that.
It's just the stuff that makes me, people ask me who I am, and I can identify in a number of different ways. One of my favorite things, and I joke that I'm a minority within a minority within a minority.
I think that qualifies you as a hipster.
Whatever.
You numb, right? You and your Mexican Coke.
I do. It's not even Coke.
I'm talking about the other day.
Whatever.
You and your Mexican Coke. I even told EB that you drank Mexican Coke, and he said, oh, hipster. And I said, right.
Whatever. You can go suck on your bag of cocks. Anyways. people ask me who I am or what I do. And a lot of the times what you do or what you say, it's your identity. It's how people perceive you.
Okay.
That's why when I did what makes me me. I worked my ass off today.
I think that is a fantastic segue into our topic. Our topic today is online versus real life DS. But, and when I was texting the concept to you, I said with a smattering of your online self-representation.
Which I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Smattering. Do not you people use the word smattering. It's like a smidgen, a skosh. And then I said a little bit of. I think that is how it defines. Anyway. And as I was thinking about it throughout the day, I realized, you know what? It's not a smattering. It's not a smidgen. It's not a scotch. It is, in fact, the basis, the entire basis for the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it all boils down to a sociological concept called presentation of self. And, we all talk about the masks that we wear. I don't know if we all, but there are sociologists that talk about masks that we wear for various things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, your presentation of self at work is generally not going to be your presentation of self at a dungeon.
No, hell no.
Right. I mean, it would be weird for you to be naked with a collar and leash on crawling around at work.
Well, I keep my collar on at work, but that's different.
But you're not naked crawling around. You know what I'm saying? See how that is a little odd whereas your presentation of self within the DS community, within the dungeon world, within even at the show, is obviously that of you identify as a submissive. But for anybody to believe that you are just that one thing would be obviously foolish, because nobody's one thing. We are all a multitude of many different things all wrapped up in one. It depends on what it is that people are willing to show you. What presentation of self are they giving you? And so for this discussion of how you represent yourself online, which therefore feeds into an online DS relationship, it depends on the presentation of self that you're giving.
That is true.
For example, before we ever started this show, we had our own separate Twitters, online personas, etc. And it's very kind of one-dimensional, for lack of a term, mm-hmm. because it's very BDSM focused, it's very whatever it is, or very sexually focused, but it doesn't take into consideration a lot of other aspects of our lives,
mm-hmm.
daughter, sister for me, mother, all of these other things, employee, worker, friend, all of these other things that make you a whole, complete, complex person.
Right.
I'm also, you know, I'm very politically charged. I'm an intellectual. I have a lot of different groups. I'm very, a lot of atheist friends, things like that, that don't necessarily, they aren't what I'm putting out there on the BDSM side. That's my presentation of self on the BDSM side is very much so. It used to be far more, you know, one dimensional than it is now. Now that we're on the show, we actually had a point in the show very early on when we were discussing things almost in a very removed perception, as if, well, this is how it works in this relationship, but we didn't really probe into us.
Yeah.
Into us as individuals, into us as our relationship. And we got some really good advice that said, look, talk about your personal experiences. And it made the show infinitely better. It made us more vulnerable. It made us more exposed. But it showed that we were more, it wasn't just that one dimensional presentation of self. It was definitely a more complex variety of who and what we are. But that's because of this medium. We don't have the luxury of just giving people one side. Like, I can't just tell sex jokes here all the time where I tweet them twice a day or whatever it is, like, or tweet, you know, sex-related, sex-psychological articles. I can't do that from here. We're talking for an hour, and we're usually talking about our own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that our presentation of self had to expand. But those that don't have this kind of medium, which most people don't,
right,
they are there for whatever they are putting out online via Twitter, via FetLife, via Facebook, via email, via whatever it is, even texting, those kinds of things. It is whatever they have decided to be, to give to you. And whether it's accurate or not is not even a question. It is, that is just what they are presenting.
Right, right.
So that's kind of the basis.
I can't imagine you posting on Facebook some of the shit that you tweet.
Yeah, my mom.
Remember that one time that you accidentally posted something on Facebook and you had to text your kid? Like, hey. Oh,
Jesus.
So don't ask any questions.
That was so bad.
But can you log on to my Facebook and delete some?
Do you want to know what it was?
I can't remember.
Home want to know.
I can't remember what it was.
It was, oh my God, I'm so looking forward to having a pegging party. That, and I'm blushing right now. I'm actually turning bright red. My face is turning fiery red because I remember I was out. I was at a theme park.
Oh, that's right.
I was at fucking Legoland. And I was like, and I couldn't do it from my phone. I couldn't do it from the mobile app. I almost like, and this, you know, this is a few years ago. And I was freaking out. Thank God I had somebody at home. And I'm like, oh my God, don't ask any questions. Don't even read it. Don't read it. She read it.
Of course.
And then she's like, okay. Thank God she didn't know what the fuck I was talking about, but that's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crossing those presentations of self where, you know, my high school friends, especially my super duper religious high school friends, don't really need to know about my extracurricular activities.
You know, it's weird because, like, I mean, I keep things pretty compartmentalized, you know,
Yeah, you have, like, separate groups on Facebook. You don't do, like, posting to all your friends. Like, you pick.
I do. So I have, you know how on Facebook you can, like, make lists and stuff? I have a list, and the name of that list is Nancy. And the reason for that is because the people that are on that list know me as Nancy. My name's not Nancy.
Shh. My name is not Insidious. Go figure, my mother didn't name me that.
That would have been pretty fucking cool. But anyways.
Not really.
Well, yeah. Well, I think so. But, you know, and the reason for that is because I figure, hey, anything that I'm going to post that's going out to these people that are on this list, it's because they know the me that's like the me, you know?
So when you say profanity and whatnot.
Right, you know, well, no, because sometimes that goes out to everybody.
Well, yeah, sometimes your 50 siblings might have issues with that.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I keep it that way because it's my way of kind of staying guarded, you know?
It's the presentation of self.
Right, but the same thing goes for, you know, for Twitter or for Fet or anywhere else that I would present myself as Nancy, the service slut. You know, the things that I say there, I well, I'm not just, you know, bullshitting. But there are things I feel I am a different person almost. I'm a little bit more raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas we're, you know, the other side of me, the non-Nancy, is just a little bit more, it takes a bit more for me to reveal anything about myself.
More guarded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that when, for me, you know, when we engage in things of this nature, we tend to be a little bit more guarded about revealing it to those people that are not receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's how it goes. And so we you know, we make people jump through hoops before we're going to let them in. You know, we make sure that they pass certain litmus tests before we're going to reveal to them.
There's been people that, you know, that I've met on Twitter and we're now Facebook friends.
Oh, I have several of those.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, look what it took for that to happen.
Oh, I know them all in real life, in person.
Right,
that,
you know.
That's how it has to go.
Right, and so, you know, you create meaningful relationships with people and you make that decision. You make that leap of faith to let them into the rest of your life.
That's true, that's true. I mean, because my Facebook is, it's me, I'm a mom. I mean, that's, you know, that's what I use it for.
You're one of those people that everybody hates. Posting about their kids and shit. I don't care. You know I don't care.
I'm creating a list that doesn't have Nancy on it.
Oh my God, shut up.
Anyway, so the point being about this presentation of self and how we compartmentalize ourselves is that when you're engaging in kind of online DS, it looking at the differences between online and in real life DS is a lot like looking at the differences between fantasy and reality. Because in an online DS relationship, there are a lot of things that have to be filled in by the mind, by the fantasy. You can, in fact, create a perfect dominant, a perfect submissive without flaws because of this limited exposure. Now, is that to say that we are not, sometimes we are so incredibly vulnerable and so incredibly intimate and expose ourselves to such a raw degree online because it's not somebody we're looking face to face. We absolutely can expose ourselves like that.
Mm-hmm.
However, that you can still build the other person up to perhaps more than what they are in reality because you have all of these things. You're missing a lot of components. The biggest thing that you're missing is the mirror of the people that surround them. I believe you can't really know somebody until you hang out with their family and friends, because that's, you know, everything else is just from their own perspective. And if they're a narcissist, then guess what? They think they're pretty fucking awesome.
Sure.
You know, whereas if they're mentally unstable on some level, or they have a lot of depression or whatever, that comes through that filter as well, which may not necessarily put them in the best light or may put them in a better light because it's from their own perspective, which is skewed. Does that make sense?
It does.
So for me, when you're looking at kind of the online versus real life, I'm not saying that one is better than the other. A lot of people engage in online DS for a variety of reasons, myriad of reasons. Number one, maybe geographically they are unable. They don't have a partner in their geographic area. They live in a very small town or small region. They might be in a marital situation that prohibits them from engaging in this. And there's no judgment, whatever. You know, I'm not getting into somebody's marriage, but that happens a lot.
Sure.
They might have an employment situation where they have a certain amount of fear of engaging in these things in public, and therefore they want to keep it kind of private.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. They might have, you know, familial issues. They might have health issues that prevent them from going to dungeons and doing things like of that nature, but they still want to engage in the psychological component of dominance and submission. There's a lot of reasons why people engage in online DS. So put that out as people are like, oh, you don't know what you're doing if you do online DS. You know what? Whatever. Is it different? Absolutely. Is it bad? No. It is what it is. For whatever reason that people do it, and I'm sure that there's a bunch that I haven't listed. I'm sorry if I missed them all. But it is what it is. It's what's out there. However, pros and cons. In order for an online DS relationship to work, the trust, the faith in the other person is through the roof. Like talking about giving somebody a task.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're being honest and telling you that they did it with or without evidence. Like you can't doctor a photo. Come on, give me a fucking break. Fucking they have Photoshop on your goddamn phone now. You know, I mean, fuck, you can do, they have Photoshop on the fly for video now.
I mean, we see people who are like tweeting how many orgasms they've had and how many they have left to go. Fuck, I've done it, you know? Like,
right.
I mean, everybody does that. And it's just kind of like a, for the person that that task is being performed for or at the direction of whoever, you know, there has to be a level of trust, mm-hmm. that person's going to carry it through.
Yeah, that they're not lying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, you're right, the faith and the trust, it really has to be huge. I mean, and I'm giving it to from a flat out, from a D-type perspective. Like, I do this thing in my chastity where at one point I give them options. You know, there's 21 days of chastity. There's 7 days of nothing, including I'm not in their life. 7 days of them doing their own thing. They could do whatever they want. I am not their dominant. And then 7 days of masturbating 5 to 6 times a day.
You don't want to pick the one where she's not your dominant.
But the reason I do that is to give them options. Which of these three did you prefer? Because these are your options. Which mm-hmm. do you prefer? And I have to, there still has to be a certain amount of faith that they actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the amount of communication that I do it, and then I look in their eyes and I can see, and I'm generally a good judge of a liar unless they're a narcissist and then or a sociopath and then I'm a shitty judge, but whatever. It's... If it's one of those situations where somebody, let's say, is in Delaware and you're in Colorado, it 100% has to be based upon them being truthful or manipulative, you know? And that's when as soon as there is that chink in the armor, that question of whether someone of the other side is lying, that relationship starts in a downward spiral. Because you have to have that kind of faith. As you well know, in our relationship, we have to have that trust. When it's gone, or when there's a moment when it weakens, I mean, fuck, the talking and the drama and the wooden and the all
and
of
the
this.
The picking up the pieces, right. And all of this shit.
It's a huge deal, you know?
God. You trust me to take my meds every day.
I do. We have history.
We have history. But you trust me to do that. You know, and that's one example. You're not there when I take it. You know, I take it, you know, I go to Starbucks and I get my butter croissant and I get my venti black tea lemonade, no ice and no sweetener. And
warmed butter croissant. And often, don't forget, there is the cheese bistro box.
Mm-hmm. I love cheese in the morning. I can't help it. But you know, you don't have to think about that. You don't have, I mean, I assume, you know, on a daily basis, it's not like every day you're like, did she take her meds today? You know, I'm sure there's sometimes when I'm acting all batshit crazy that you'd probably do wonder, did she take her fucking meds?
No, because I know it's not one day. I know how long it takes. Then it'd be like, wait a second. How long have you been off your meds?
Right.
Right.
But, you know, and it's one of those things where nobody's around. I am the soul everything of that, you know, and we don't have an online relationship. Ours is very much, you know, in real life.
Although we do text a lot.
Yes, we do. One would say.
A lot.
One would say that qualifies. But yeah, you know, I think a lot about how, well, today when you suggested this topic, I thought about how this morning I tweeted something about you.
Like, oh, shit, I didn't see it.
I tweeted something. Because I woke up in the morning and I flipped over and you happened to be facing me and you looked so fucking pretty.
Really?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I look like this.
No. No. You realize you don't sleep like that, right?
I don't know what I look like when I sleep.
That is not it.
I'm sleeping.
And I'm not a creeper, so I'm not going to like take video of it for you.
Whoa.
Right? But
whoa.
I just turned around and I was like, she's so beautiful. Thanks, Joey. She's so beautiful. And I felt like, oh, stay in bed. I want to stay in bed with her.
I would have been so pissed off.
If I had stayed in bed with you?
And you didn't go to work.
Well, yeah, there's that. But so I tweeted something to that effect, and someone said, oh, you know, hashtag romance, you guys are so cute and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and so when you brought up the topic, it just made me think about how, yes, individually we have our own identities online, whether it's, you know, kinky, vanilla, whatever. But, you know, in our case, like, it's almost as if though we have an identity together, you know?
Obviously, yes. A lot of people see you and I as a together thing, which, you know, we are a together thing, but we're also a separate thing.
We are a separate thing.
We are a separate thing. Go figure, we have our own lives.
No shit. What?
Game.
Really?
Sorry.
Really?
You know what? You know, with that game, I have to be on it. I have to be on it to get my shit.
Oh my God.
Shut up.
So that's also part of her identity.
That I'm a total dork and I play video games and I play games on my phone and I'm a geek. Geek. Anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Yes, please.
Where we can seem intelligent and I'm not mocked unmercifully for my geekdom. No, I mean, you're quite right. And it's funny because I remember when we first started really kind of exploring on the show some of our shit. And I was like, well, there goes, you know, that, you know, fantasy, Cinderella fairy tale, what people think. And people are like, oh no. And there was a time, oh no, are they going to break up? Are they going to break up? That was a lot of it. You two can't break up. You're perfect. And it's like,
no.
No. Nobody's perfect, number one. And it happens. But again, it's about that kind of that online, what people perceive to be. And then if people only know us from our Twitter exchanges, which are fairly humorous.
They are.
Although we actually exchange on Twitter not that often.
But when we do, it's funny.
It is pretty funny. It is pretty funny.
Especially when we screenshot text conversations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Like when we were both dropping and I sent you the picture of the little turtle throwing up rainbows and you're like, yes. We're going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles throwing up rainbows? And yeah. I'm like, no, that's how overdrop will be.
Oh, yes. That's exactly. That's how it went. So the whole online component has that massive amount of trust and that faith. And you are only going to get out of it as much as you put into it, which can be said of any relationship. Mm-hmm. But I think that when you're dealing with a situation like that, it's very easy to tell little white lies.
Certainly.
Very easy. And I suppose if you can rectify, if you could justify that in your own head and somehow reconcile that you're not being dishonest, then maybe it won't have an impact. But I think that that's really kind of the beginning of the end. It makes it difficult if somebody has created this sense of perfection in the other person, mm-hmm. because of the presentation of self and because of what I am putting on you. If let's say I've created this perfect person in you and you've presented it as whatever, and I've put upon you as that is perfect. Well, when the cracks and the fissures start showing, it's very difficult to reconcile that with what my mind has made it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has that happen in every relationship. There's that one moment when you're like, oh, that they're not exactly what I thought they were. And that is a moment where you can either be like, this is the beginning of the end, or this is the beginning of we're going to change this, but it can be better.
Yes.
You know, and that's a deciding point. And some people consistently decide to make it better. Some people consistently decide that this is the beginning of the end. It just depends on the personality that they are. But when it's an online relationship, it makes it a little bit difficult because then that crack, that fissure can be very one-sided. And if it's not communicated and you're not going to look somebody in the face, even with Skype, even with FaceTime, even with all of the modern conveniences that we have, you're still not going to get that 360 of the human being that you would face-to-face. So it requires a very kind of special hand-holding, for lack of a term, if you're engaging in it online. Does that make sense?
I love how you keep asking me if that makes sense. It does make sense.
I'm doing that for myself.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm making sure that I don't sound like an idiot.
You don't sound like an idiot. Silly goose.
Whereas one of the slight differences when we are in a real life relationship, when that moment happens, when you see the crack, when you see the fissure, you can choose to engage in that conversation immediately because you usually are in person when it happens. Or you can choose to wait. But when two people are present and something like that happens, it is very rare that both people don't feel it.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You know it. Like, you feel like, wow, did it just get cold in here?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that happens. Like, you might not be able to identify it. And some people, like you, might just go, oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. Because you're a big fan of just shove it down. Shove it down. And then people like me are like, what the heck? And then it wheedles. It's like that little earworm from Wrath of Khan.
Oh, God.
It just goes
what?
In and
Why?
Starts eating
Why?
Away.
Why? Why?
Because if
Why?
You saw it, it's so bad.
Yes,
it's so fake.
I
it's
know.
Not scary. It was
I know
scary back then, but it's not scary now.
Oh, God.
Just saying. You know, I mean, but you know, whereas online, both parties aren't necessarily going to know at the same time, or even maybe one party doesn't know at all.
Right.
And so let's say the other party sees this fissure and decides to disappear, and the other party's like, what happened? What happened? You know, and that can cause a lot of damage emotionally to somebody.
Major distress.
Especially if they've been so vulnerable and so open with things maybe that they've never done in person because they never felt comfortable in person. They feel more comfortable being that open and honest online, but not necessarily in person because for whatever reason, they just feel like there's more threat, more damage can happen. But it's still, you're still emotionally revealing yourself.
Right.
It'd be very damaging.
Well, I think one of the things that probably would apply to both online and, you know, in real life relationships is reputation. Reputation is everything. I mean, follow me here.
I'm with you.
Okay. How many times in the last month has one of our mutual friends texted or just asked us when they saw us, hey, do you know so-and-so? What do you know about them? Right? Same thing online, on the Twitter, I would say, on the FetLife as well. You know, on Fet, you see people chime in on discussions. Their comments say a lot. The way that they express themselves, their opinions, says a lot about who they are, or at least who they're trying to emanate. Same thing on Twitter. Same thing. You know, they make witty remarks, or they take a stance on something. And every single time someone does that, it tells you a little bit more about who they are, or at least who they are trying to be. I say it like that because I feel like unfortunately, as we said earlier, with online, there's that margin of things might not be as they appear. I'm not saying that that can't happen in real life. It absolutely can. I mean, we've known people where we thought they were totally sane people and they turn out to be batshit fucking crazy. But, you know, at least you have the face-to-face component.
You can watch them go batshit crazy.
Hey!
You can see it happen.
Yes.
Which is a little bit more terrifying.
It is. And so, you know, I mean, I think that concept of reputation, there's two sides to it. There's the side of, you know, there's a person that is creating their reputation that knows that what they say can be seen by however many people can get, you know, around to other people. So they're very careful with their words. You know, I mean, an example. I am a reflection of you. My deeds, words, actions, and behaviors are a reflection of you. So I take care. At least I try. I fuck up sometimes, but I try to take care with what I say or what I do because that reflects on your reputation. And I love you. I love you. Major. Yeah. So I try to take care of that. That's one component. The other component is the people who are seeing whatever is being presented to them. They are watching. They're watching. I'm going to use you as an example. They're watching the Insidious Muse show. You know, They're looking.
Do, 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 do.
You know, they watch you play. They, you know, they listen to us on the show. They see your tweets. They, you know, they text you for advice and shit. You know, whatever it is. And you know, on the end of that person that is perceiving your reputation, well, you know, they create their own opinions. And then those opinions grow. They're, you know, people, I know you don't like to hear this because you're all like self-deprecating and shit, but people do think highly of you. Right?
If only they knew.
That you're silly? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that's a secret. But cool.
But I mean, I just, I don't know. Do you agree? Disagree? I mean.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, it's. Yeah. When you're dealing with perception, when I was debating in college, one of the a valid argument in all debates was perception is key, where it doesn't necessarily matter what the facts of the situation is there or are. If there is a perception of it being different, then the perception is equal to being reality.
Right.
Does that make sense? So for that scenario that you just, that all of that is all about perception. If somebody perceives you as the perfect submissive, which a lot of people do, I get a lot, people that even know her, I get a lot of people who are like, can I clone her? And I'm like, Oliver, by all means. You will see. Come talk to me in a month. Let me give you the list of things you need to do to manage a Nancy. You know, I love you.
I know.
But it's a lot of work.
I'm not, you know, disagreeing with that.
But, you know, there are people, and that is their perception of you. But it doesn't make their perception wrong. It's their perception. That's how they, because to them, that is as truthful as the fact that the sky is blue. It's, there is no difference. Mm-hmm. So, when you add that component to the mix, some perception that people look up to me. Stupid dorky look.
Oh my God, I wish this camera was on you so they can see that face.
So glad it's not.
You know, it's only on there with tape.
I don't know what you're talking about. Stop it. But the point is that that perception, I hope you're not doing what I think you're doing, because you need to stop. I will throw things at you. And right now, all I have is a big gulp. That's not going to work out. Mindy's not going to be happy.
She's the one that's telling me to do it.
Okay, fine, whatever. So that perception is as valid for... Hi. I would have done my hair had I known. That perception is as valid if you're looking at it from an in-person perspective. People have perceptions of, you walk through a dungeon and you have a perception of everybody that you see in the dungeon. You have that first opinion that you make of somebody based on a scene, based on what they're wearing, based on the way that they speak, based on the friends that they keep. We all have our perceptions of other people. And a lot of that is based upon their own presentation of self. There's a lot of layers that go into this, that go into these relationships, whether they be, you know, full on DS, you know, and we judge a lot. I mean, I've seen relationships where, you know, there's the master with the super masterly outfit and he is such a master with the slaves all about him on their knees and they're so adoring. And it's like, oh, you know, and I could be like, wow. What a dick. But whatever. I mean, who the fuck am I to judge? That's my perception at the moment. Or sometimes I could be like, dude's got it going on. He's got a stable of women that are willing to do that for him. He's got to be doing something right. You know, and it all just depends on the moment. And that shit happens in real life in a fucking nanosecond. When you're dealing with it online, all that shit happens in a nanosecond and you don't necessarily communicate it to your partner or to whomever or to your online sisters or brothers or whatever relationships that it is that you're building. You have these thoughts. These thoughts are all very true and accurate at the moment, but you don't necessarily relay them. And sometimes our actions, whether they be online or in real life, are not necessarily congruent with what we're thinking. You know, I can tweet something which maybe I don't agree with it. I know. Have I ever tweeted something I don't agree with?
I can't remember.
Well, you know, never mind. I was going to talk about my ex, but I realized that would be mean. So let's not do that. you know, it's one of those things where you can believe or want something to be true with all of your heart. And it is easier to convince others of it in an online arena than it is to convince others of it in a real life arena. There is a component where that veil of fantasy disappears when you're face to face. When you can look somebody in their eye and you could see their nonverbal communication, because, you know, up until social media, only 7% of communication was verbal.
Yeah.
But now with social media, I mean, the majority of it is now verbal, not necessarily verbal, but, you know, written. And it alters things dramatically. Does that mean that we as human beings, when we communicate face to face, we haven't altered the way we communicate? No. I mean, except for adding occasional hashtag here and there, whatever, because that's just funny. But in reality, we're still doing nonverbal communication 90%+ of the time, because that's how human beings communicate. We have a million things going on in our head, and that is made apparent by our body language, by our facial expressions, by some of our tones, which may not necessarily be the same as the words that we're saying. So that is one of the additional challenges when you're dealing with kind of an online relationship, is being really, really aware that you're in tune with really what you're thinking and what you're feeling, as opposed to just putting words on paper. Not that anybody uses paper on screen, on phone, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You feeling me?
I'm feeling you.
Did I just go on a strange tangent? I feel like I did.
A little bit, but it's okay, because I enjoy your tangents quite a bit. What do you think that... What tips could we give people in terms of staying true to themselves and while they have an online persona?
Well, here's one of the challenges. When you're doing something online, sometimes it's almost secret.
Okay.
Sometimes you're not necessarily open and honest with the people that know you about it. And I can understand that, especially if you're engaging in something that's considered very risque or taboo, such as BDSM. Mm-hmm. And the challenge with that is that you then become a crock pot, and all of your thoughts and all of your emotions and everything that gets brought up in dominance and submission, which all of that should come up. Everything that you feel and deal with emotionally, highs and lows, are going to come up more so in a DS relationship than I think even in a traditional relationship.
Agreed.
Because you're really delving into some deeper, deeper depths. So I think that if I would suggest to somebody who's doing online, see if that, you know, make sure that they're doing a journal and trying to check in with themselves to ensure that they're being very honest with themselves, that they're not, that there's that little voice when you're like, something's wrong. Find somebody to reach out to and just say, hey, this is what's going on. Even from a third party perspective, this is what's going on. And I feel a little weird. Am I overreacting? What's going on? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Having feedback is going to be your best friend. Not having feedback is going to result in probably some very self-damaging scenarios.
I think also it's really important to stay grounded, you know?
Same concept.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, in terms of those of us who don't just have an online persona, you know? I mean, you, for instance, you and I have a real-life relationship, but we do also have...
Do we?
Hey, don't tell me this has all been a dream.
My bed wasn't made this morning.
Hey, because
I was in it.
You were in it. I couldn't really make it with you in it.
Carry on.
But you know, for those of us who know, we know our partners face to face. We know our kinky friends face to face. But we still have an online persona because we're still online all the time. I think, you know, it's really easy to say, I'm just going to grab my phone and I'm going to tweet this because I think it's funny, or I'm going to tweet this because I think it's insightful, or whatever. But, you know, someone a few hundred miles away, maybe they don't see it that way. How many times have one of us tweeted something that we thought was fucking harmless, just a fleeting thought, and suddenly it turns into this whole like fucking ridiculous conversation about how... I don't know. When did I get killed? I got called out on something once. Oh, I said that. I said I wanted to have fat girl food.
Oh, this turned into something, some drama.
Holy crap. Yeah. Because I said that I wanted to have some fat girl food. I got some chunk on me, people.
Oh, fuck. Who cares?
Exactly. Who cares? Nobody cares.
But you know what? Even if somebody's a skinny bitch and wants fat girl food, let them have fucking fat girl food.
Yes.
It's still fat girl food. It's, just so you know, to define fat girl food, it's food that makes you fat. I mean, fuck. That could be it for anybody. Anybody.
Right. So, anyways, I tweeted that and it turned into a thing. And I found myself having to apologize for saying that, you know?
I wouldn't. Fuck that.
Well, no, because I felt bad after the fact because I thought, you know, okay.
You didn't call anybody else fat?
I know.
That's on them.
Right. I understand that. But that's what I'm talking about, staying grounded. Not, you know, we talk about, oh, it's just Twitter. Oh, it's just fat.
Oh, I wrote a fucking thing on that.
You
man.
Did.
It's
you
not
did.
Just Twitter.
Yeah, you did write a thing on that because we create meaningful relationships through yes. there and you can't pick and choose what's going to, you know, what you're going to really invest time in and what you're not.
Yep.
Because it's, you know, I'm fucking, oh my God, I don't know how many times during the show I've picked up my fucking phone to check the Twitter or whatever the fuck, you know? It's just part of how I communicate with people.
Absolutely.
So,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
And there is nothing wrong with that. Well, I mean, you know, don't do it while you're having sex, people, because that's just not cool. Unless you're watching the Sex in Your Life tweeting it. What? Anyways.
Or hearing it. Whatever.
But, you know.
You and Logan, by the way. You and Logan.
What about me and Logan?
You're tweeting when I was having sex the other night.
Well, you know, we were talking. You're having all of the sex for all of us. That's why none of us get to have sex, because you're having all of it.
I'm having more. You're carry on with the conversation. We'll discuss my sex yes. life another time.
But, you know, it's, I don't know if I'm making sense or if I'm speaking in circles, but, you know, taking things like that, that, you know, you meaningful things, but also just the things that are kind of unpleasant and having that balance of, okay, this has happened online. I can step away from this if I need to.
Well, you can't. You can step away from the social media or from the technology. Yes, you can do that. But to intimate that it has not impacted you emotionally, I think is foolhardy. I think that these things do, in fact, impact us deeply emotionally for the same reasons that we said in the beginning of the show, that we are generally far more emotionally intimate and vulnerable to these faceless people that we might never, ever meet. And therefore, when there is pain, you've exposed yourself so much that you can't just walk away from that pain. That pain is still there. Just like any moment of pain, distance and time will lessen it. However, you can't say that it's not a legitimate pain because it happened from some social media. I get it's just Twitter. But you know what? Sometimes that shit hurts. Bullying is still bullying. Name calling is still name calling. Breaking up and getting your heart broken is still getting your heart broken, whether you did it on Twitter or you did it in real life. All those things are still emotionally as true and as accurate as if it happened to you with somebody next to you on the bus in 1976 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take away the fact that it is a real emotion. So stepping away from it might give you a very rational way to kind of shut it down, but those emotions are there and they're real and they're raw. That's my soapbox.
So our live stream watchers, Teddy Bear Sam, commented, live tweeting sex for the win, to which I then responded, hashtag watching I am fuck or hashtag watching I am fuck. Search those hashtags. You're welcome.
You're going to run out of hashtags.
Oh, no, I never will. I never, ever will.
So I got that going for me. Fucking internet.
Yeah, you can't get away from it.
You cannot. That is true. I have some subpoenas, so yeah. Different point.
You know, we've also seen people completely burn themselves online, like completely burn their accounts or
whatever. Oh yeah.
Totally.
I've done
like
it.
Yeah, and totally,
Twitter side.
Right. Totally reinvent themselves, mm-hmm. like, you know, a la Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, one of the advantages to kind of having an online persona is that, yeah, if things go too far or become too painful or too dangerous, You're right. You can absolutely, you can burn an email address. You can burn a Twitter. You can burn whatever. All of that can be burned. And you can, you know, rise like the phoenix from the ashes and become born anew. You can have something like that. Or just come back slowly, because that shit's hard, man. I had that. I was like, you know, I was getting up there at like 2,000 followers and I had to burn a fucking account. And I was like, fuck. And I came back and started. And man, when you're a little noob with one follower or with no, you know, and the only reason I had followers is like, hey, this is my new account. And I texted my friends, follow me, please. But then people are like, who the fuck are you? The fuck's Insidious Muse? I don't want to follow you, stupid bitch. You know? And then when they're
I'm sure no one said that.
It's that person. When I tell them what my old name is, they're like, oh, well, yeah, I'll follow you because I know you. And it's like, you couldn't tell me by the quality of my tweets? Apparently not.
Oh.
Sad mistress is sad.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, but yeah, and that is on one level that there's a certain level of protection in that. It's harder to sever all ties in person. Now, in LA, it's a little bit easier. Not when you're in the BDSM community, because, you know, we're kind of incestuous.
Julie comments, being dumped by your D-type via text sucks.
Oh, no. Being dumped by anybody via text or via Facebook or via whatever, it just, it's classless.
It's uncouth.
Yeah, finding out that you were dumped because their relationship status changed, I couldn't imagine how just fucked up that would be. I mean, everything's different. My daughter's, when she broke up with her partner, 2 days later, her partner's relationship status had a new partner. So that was awesome. And I'm like, why are you still friends with them? Unfriend now. Uh-huh. So... Yeah. Those are some of the things, pros and cons to doing the online. And I think that at some point, if the online DS is alluring and enticing and works for you as a person, mm-hmm. I think that you outgrow that and you have to move into real life at some point. Whether you can or cannot, for a variety of reasons, like I said earlier, although I think the biggest one would be fear, that is a different subject altogether. But I think that in order for a person to continue down this path, the DS path, the BDSM path, you really do have to engage in person, as with any relationship. You know, you meet somebody on some, you know, vanilla dating site and you start emailing and then you start texting. Well, at some point the texting has to stop and you have to meet in person, mm-hmm. or else you're never going to move to the next level. And I'm not just talking sex, which is a fantastic level. Sometimes it's just, whatever.
So how does it feel to have the camera pointing towards you?
I'm not even noticing it.
See, perfect.
Yay. Don't bother me at all. I mean, I would have liked to have done my hair.
Oh,
whatever.
My God. Stop it.
Look at that.
Oh, stop it.
Rat's nest.
Oh, not even.
Totally. It's cool. Yeah. No, whatever. I'm really glad I didn't wear my sweats and dirty t-shirt like I was going to. Because I was like, I'm going to put gym clothes on, whatever. Do I have to look nice? And then I was like, oh, let's put on a dress and a bra. Let's wear a bra today.
You're groping yourself.
I was. All the people on live stream know that. Everybody else doesn't. Do you have any other last little tidbits? I mean, advice for people that are, you know, considering either online or real life?
Nothing that we haven't already covered, but I think with both, just keep your safety in mind. I mean, there's different types of issues that you can run into in terms of safety in both. But I just, you know, staying generally safe is my recommendation.
When we talk about safety, a lot of time we talk about physical safety. And obviously there is an actual real life story about this woman who was going to meet this submissive man for whatever. He was going to come over and clean her house. Now, mind you, this story is told third hand, so take it for what it is. But apparently he came over and then he tied her up and beat her up, left her for dead and left. So, you know, that shit happens. So just vet your people before you let them into your home.
Right.
But online, I mean, it sounded like you were saying emotional safety.
Well, yeah, emotional safety, but also, I guess this can go for both, but, you know, I remember the day that I walked into work and there was an email from someone in our kinky life, who's no longer in our kinky life, who's no longer in our life at all, emailed me to my work email address. Work. Had not been ever provided to him. And I flipped my shit.
Yeah.
Cause what the fuck are, what? That's scary.
Yeah.
It is really fucking scary. And so I guess in both real life and online, you know, I just always feel like that's why I'm guarded. That's why I don't let people into my entire life. I just don't, because of shit like that.
Yeah, valid. That's valid. I think that, I mean, I don't do online for a variety of reasons. But one of them is, if you're talking about kind of emotional safety, is that there are a lot of people that do keep a component of themselves guarded for their own mental safety, for their own mental sanity. They keep themselves guarded. And when I engage in DS, I really do require that kind of just brutal honesty, that openness with themselves. And you know it. It's been very difficult for you. It's, you know, there are issues that happen. I've you know, unfortunately had to let a submissive go one time because that kind of honesty wasn't there. Just was not capable in their life at that time. So I'm hesitant, you know, when people talk about online DS, well, they need to be open and honest. But if you're talking about some sort of emotional safety, then that prevents the ability to have that kind of open, honest DS. And they don't work together.
Right.
So that would just be my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got to say about that.
So what do we got going on?
Well, this weekend, you're going away.
I am going away.
You're going away. It's exciting.
I am excited.
A vanilla trip.
It's a vanilla trip, but also at the same time, like, oh, God, I don't know. I just always feel, like, sad when I get a weekend, like, away, and it's away from you, because I like to spend weekends with you and, like, do stuff and, like, you know, binge watch TV shows and shit.
I'm not gonna do that.
Watch you play video games and then get confused because think that you're talking to me, but you're not talking to me. You're actually talking to the video game.
I do that too. A lot. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm excited that you're gonna get this time. I mean, away. I think that time away from a partner is good.
That's true.
I think that it's good. It lends to, you know, reflection and perspective and all of that, which is great. And it's a friend you haven't spent a lot of time with in a while. So this will be very nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It will be.
And then we'll get another weekend together.
Well, yeah, because then that's our super duper crazy busy kinky weekend, like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good.
Be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't know, I have nothing going on. I have a lot of sex, a lot of dates.
A lot of sex. Fuck, man. A lot of sex.
A lot of sex.
You guys out there, watch for those hashtags, man. I'm gonna live tweet the shit out of that.
Only when you're there.
Is this sex not happening at the abode or what?
No, I'm going someplace else for the sex tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight.
Tonight?
Yes. I feel like the camera needs to be on you for that.
Fuck, man.
What's wrong with that? What?
Because you got back late last night because you had the sex.
But we slept in the same bed.
I know, but then, like, our Mistress of Me time was, like, kaputs.
You know, normally most people don't sleep at their mistress's house.
I know, that's true.
A lot. So you need to pipe the fuck down and stop you bitching and you whining. Not gonna work.
I know.
All right, kids. Well, we're out of time. You know, review us on iTunes, please. Hopefully it was good. Follow us on the Twitter. The show is Kinkalectual. I am Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And this is Skid Row Studios. Check out the other shows because they're fantastic. And we love it. And we love Mindy. And we love Jeremy. And we love everything and everybody. And, you know, if you have a show topic idea or something that you're really interested, shoot us a message on Fat on Twitter and whatever. And we're, you know, we're willing to look into it. If we don't have any subject matter expertise, then we'll look for somebody else, or we'll just bullshit. Cause sometimes we do that. No, we don't ever bullshit. We just fucking talk. But anyway, have a good night.
Love you.
Love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.